The clearest illustration of the unevenness of the power of the crown in Spain is the relative strength of regional assemblies. In Castile, the regional assembly, or the Cortes, was completely dependent upon the whims of the crown. The Cortes could not legislate. It could be summoned by the crown. It could be ignored by the crown at will. The Castilian Cortes could, of course, petition the crown for redress of grievances, and the crown was traditionally obliged to listen to them. Any monarch would have been foolish not at least to listen. But crucially, the Castilian Cortes was never able to make the redress of its grievances a prerequisite for the supply of money. That is to say that Philip II could tax whether or not the Cortes was happy with him. By contrast, in Aragon, the Cortes possessed much more authentic privileges. The crown could not legislate without the permission of the Cortes, and the crown could also not impose any new tax without the consent of the Aragonese Cortes. The Cortes exercised an awful lot of control over an office called the Justicia, which was a mixture of chief justice and judge of appeal. And this office of the Justicia was one of the greatest obstacles to absolutism in Philip II's Spain, because the very purpose of the Justicia was to protect subjects against private and public injustice. And this tribunal had the right to intervene in trials which were considered contrary to the privileges, or fueros, of Aragon. For example, in the year 1556, the crown's viceroy in Aragon had an Aragonese subject garroted, or strangled, on charge of complicity with brigands. And this was judged to be an infringement of the fueros. The Aragonese Cortes assembled without any royal summons. Riots broke out in Saragossa. The Spanish viceroy, the crown's representative, was forced to take refuge. And in the end, he was completely disavowed by the crown. Philip, realized that he couldn't afford to let this kind of thing happen. How are we to explain this difference between Castile and Aragon? Why should it be the case that Castile should have an impotent Cortes and Aragon should have something rather more substantial? Part of the explanation is just simple constitutional history. The Aragonese Cortes had a much more robust legal apparatus with which to defend itself than its Castilian counterpart. But most of the explanation is a bit more mundane than that and has to be sought in economic conditions and in social conditions. Castile was an awful lot richer in manpower and in taxable wealth than Aragon. These were the basic instruments of the crown's power. It needed recruits for the army, and it needed taxes to pay for them and to equip them. Moreover, Castile had a regressive social structure. That is to say that the aristocracies, and here we would include not only secular aristocrats, nobles, and so on, but also ecclesiastical aristocracies, bishops, cathedral chapters, and powerful monasteries, controlled something like 90% of the land. The peasantry was completely impoverished, and this made them a really ready source of recruits. Something like half of all the revenues of the Spanish crown were made up from taxes in Castile. Just to give you an idea of how significant this is by comparison, all of the treasure of the Americas, the gold and silver plundered from Mexico and Peru, represented perhaps 10 to 20% of the crown's revenue. So Castile was a revenue source which dwarfed everything that was provided by the New World. Now, from the crown's point of view, looking forward to subsequent events in the Netherlands represented a kind of awkward mix of the situation in Spain. On the one hand, the Netherlands was a region with very strong particularist tendencies, that is to say, tendencies in which each region looks to its own interests and its own concerns rather than to some larger national or kingdom concerns. And it was a region, the Netherlands, that is to say, with not just these particularist concerns, but also with very powerful regional institutions. And so in that regard, it was rather like Aragon, particularist and backed by powerful institutions. On the other hand, the Netherlands was a very rich territory, rather like Castile. The Netherlands, we'll find out, was one of the richest territories in all of Europe. So that the crown was caught between wanting to squeeze this place to get as much out of it as possible, like it wanted to do, like it could do in Castile, but running into institutionalized resistance to this, like in Aragon. I'd like to now turn and look at the structure of royal administration itself. And here I think I'd like to start with councils, which are really the hallmark of Habsburg monarchy. Almost all government is conducted by councils of one kind or another, and there are two main types of these councils. The first was something called the Council of State. This was an honorific body, it was an advisory body, and it consisted largely of great nobles and officials. The Council of State was never regularly consulted by the monarch, who tended to take decisions himself. Thus, the Council of State had no political influence and very little real administrative significance. Much more important were specialized councils to govern specific territories and to perform specific functions. There was a Council of the Indies. There was a Council of Aragon. There was a Council of the Netherlands. There was a Council of the Inquisition.